on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciello.
Yeah, Cody, unfortunately, the Iowa State Cyclones suffered their third straight loss in a row as the Cyclones fall 41-27 to the BYU Cougars.
Yeah. This one, this loss feels particularly, like, obviously, like, coming into the game, you had all the things go in your favor. You were the home team. It's homecoming. You're coming off a bye week. BYU's coming off an emotional win, and you were the favorite in the game. So a lot of things on paper lined up for you to win. And, I mean, in the first half of this game, it looked like it. It looked like it. Iowa State went up 24-10 deep into the second quarter. BYU does get a late touchdown to make it 24-17 at halftime, but then BYU goes, like, they went on an extended run of 31-3, and the final score ended up being 41-27. But I mean, there's a lot of things to dissect when it comes to Iowa State. But first, I just want to give them a props to the BYU Cougars and Bear Bachmeyer. They are 8-0 on the season, and I did see in the coach's poll for college football, I think BYU cracked the top 10, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah. I have to find that. So, yeah, so this was from On3. And, yeah, I think it's about time people put respect onto the BYU. Yeah, Week 10 coaches poll from On3, they have BYU listed as the number 10 team in the country. So BYU has been getting – they've been winning, and they're finally starting to get some of that respect that I think they rightfully deserve. And I think now people are starting to recognize just how good BYU is. And I mean, we talk about Bear Bachmeyer, what a day he had. So obviously BYU was without LJ Martin. He went down in the first half and didn't come in for the rest of the game. But it was a good day for Bear Bachmeyer airing it out. Obviously Parker Kingston and Chase Roberts were the two main receivers. So really good day for them as they were able to really just dissect this Iowa State defense. And again, I have a lot of things to say about that, but I mean, what a day for BYU being 8-0 for the second season in a row. And Kalani Sitake has things going, rolling pretty well over in Provo.
Yeah, man. You see the stat before the game. Now they're 19-2 in their last two seasons, which is an excellent record going into that. Because as you saw last year, they started off 9-0. And unfortunately they faltered. Otherwise they probably would have been talking about them like they were talking about us last year. So, and they didn't make the Big 12 title because of a technicality, but hey, if they continue their ways, it will probably be them in Cincinnati. Cause we got to talk about Cincinnati too. Once we get to our Big 12 segment, but like, man, I think the real question is just like, where do the clones go from here? Because I think that's just, you know, the finality of it all, and just knowing that, like, we're not going to go to the Big 12 Championship again for the second consecutive year. That in itself is hard to do. But now, like, the finality of it all and, like, sort of just, like, the way that it happened. Like, obviously, sometimes you, like, when you lose three games in a row, it sort of hurts more because when you're 5-0, that's sort of when everything fell apart with the injuries and stuff. So I guess for you, where do you think the clones go from here?
I mean, offensively, like, you loved what you saw out of the return of Carson Hansen. He finished with 16 carries, 152 yards, and two touchdowns. And Abu Sama had a nice day as well with 9 carries and I believe 63 yards. So you got production out of the run game and with 184 yards total. But I mean, between the two running backs, you had was about 215 yards between Arcee Hanson and Abu. But I mean, if you go for almost 200 yards a game on the ground, usually in that situation for Iowa State, that's promising. But in this case, it wasn't, just because of everything that had happened. I mean, from what, the turnovers to just the missed passes, and ultimately, I think it's more of what has – we thought that Rocco had gotten healthy over, like, the bye week, but it seems like he still is not the same quarterback that he was at the beginning, like, in the first half of the year before Cincinnati. So, I mean, Rocco ended the game with 311 passing yards, one touchdown, and three interceptions. And those interceptions, like the first interception he had, was really backbreaking, because I think Rocco said it that would have been the kind of like the first nail in the coffin. That was like Iowa State was in a position to put BYU in the dirt, and they just failed to do so. And ultimately, that came back to bite Iowa State as BYU ran away with it. So, if we're going to play a hypothetical situation, if Iowa State does get a touchdown there, Rocco doesn't throw that pick, we go up 24-7. This game goes a lot differently.
It sure does. Teams.
I think Iowa State, they have all the momentum, whatever.
Yeah, and that, like, if you like think about it in a hypothetical way, if you go up 24-7, BYU definitely changes the way that they do they run their offense, and like it's just it's so back ripping. When I saw that one handed catch, I'm like, yeah, and then I saw the pick, I'm like, oh no. I tuned into the halftime show, like. For a Cyclone fanatic, and just like I agreed with Chris Williams. I was like, man, I didn't feel good about this either. We do have, if you look, we do have a comment from Sunglow, fan of the show. He said, "I still believe in the ISU team, even if they have a skid and lose a few. We know these guys try their best and work hard and learn every day. As I said before, they are students first and foremost. We'll always learn. They have the skills and know-how, but some teams are just better. It doesn't always work out the way we want." Yeah, it's that, like that. That is absolute perspective right here. Like, I understand, like, we are all upset right now. I mean, some more than others. But, I mean, we still have we still do have some things to play for. We got to give revenge to Arizona State, a team that killed us in the conference championship game. We still can get revenge on Kansas, a team that has beaten us the last 3 years. So, I mean, hey, maybe not the ultimate goal all are out there, but there are still goals that we can still achieve this year. So.
Yeah, and I mean, that goes right to kind of how we can bounce back. Obviously, does it feel great to lose three straight, and in the fashion we've done it for three different games, with the loss to Cincy being just dominated in the first half, Colorado just not able to execute, and then the whole thing of execution, that's been something that I think fans have been getting frustrated over. And I mean, I think I saw Matt Campbell talk about it, like all everyone wants to do is bitch whining about excuses. And some fans took it as like, dude, like, and I think the interpretation of that was like, these things happen, like, he keeps talking about details, and I think some fans are tired of the coach talk. But I mean, what else are you going to be expecting? Like, what else can you say about like these things? Because ultimately, that's what it is.
Right.
But also another question I've been having, like that people have been talking about, people have been saying it's time to get rid of the defensive scheme because it just hasn't been working. Things like a failure to adapt. So I think for me, I think part of it is like you got to find a better way to get pressure, like to disguise your pressure.
I agree.
And also, we just don't have the same talent for that type of defense we do. I mean, everybody's caught on to it, and we have failed to adapt to it. So these coaches need to find a way to adapt, and they just haven't done so. And like, that's probably where a lot of the frustration is when it comes to the defensive side of the ball.
And I think that's what it is. It's just like I don't know if the personnel that we have is what it was when we first implemented this defense. And maybe we could be totally because we don't know. Like we're just trying to think of ways how to truly fix it because we want to figure out. And obviously we're not the problem solvers, but like we do this pod, and you know people will come to us because we don't know, but we're coming up with possible solutions. But Like you're absolutely right. I just think what we saw in the first half defensively is probably what we should do, especially with dialing up pressure with Will McLaughlin getting two sacks off of those blitzes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing I liked. I liked how we played that first half, but I just don't know what happened. Like, I don't know why we went away from it in the second half, and that ultimately has led to us our loss or whatever. So, yeah, so hopefully we can, like, take something out of it. It's that.
Yeah, so I guess with that, we can just close the door on that and move on to next season. Or not next season, good lord.
I mean, that's how some of us are basically at this point. That's how some of us are, but.
Yeah, so we're like, well, see you guys. But no, we can just move on to the Big 12 and national slate. I can go and share my screen and see how the rest of the national slate went.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to entail when it comes to like the national slate. But yeah, the Big 12 had another pretty good day.
Yeah, they did. It was pretty. It was K-State extended their streak to 17 in a row. That is, I just, you know, I don't understand if people know how hard that is to do, because like,
yeah,
good lord,
yeah. I mean, it's one thing to like beat up on, like, to consistently beat your rival, but I mean, yeah, we'll show it here. Yeah. Outside of arguing, yeah. 17 years in a row. I imagine being a Kansas fan, having grown up in your life, never knowing what it's like to beat K-State.
Yeah, dude, there are people in high school right now who all their lives is all they know is losing to K-State. There's like a junior right now or a senior right now who has never in their lifetime seen Kansas beat K-State.
In football, at least. But yeah.
Football.
But I think this year, there's something like, I think this year, I think people have more like hype around Kansas. Obviously, Kansas State, they're trembling after like their start of the season. Kansas is looking a little better. They actually came into the game as the favorite. And I mean, in the first few minutes of it, it looked like it because Kansas was able to recover, like they were to force a fumble in the kickoff and immediately score. But then Avery Johnson goes down the field, marches down the field, and they immediately tie it up. So, but I feel like once that first half like started, it never felt like Kansas was in the game, even though they may have gotten they got a touchdown late.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to look more into the box score into this game. It seemed like Jalen Daniels struggled a lot in this game. Yeah, 17 for 35 for 129 yards and interception. Like, that won't get it done.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kansas State, they will equalize it. And, I mean, for Kansas, yeah, just they were never in this game, even with that start. So, thorough domination. And I what's funny is I think I saw, like, somebody tweeted that they were in second grade since the last time Kansas beat Kansas State. And then they say, like, I now teach second grade.
That's insane. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big thing is, like, where do you go? Like, what do you do if you're Lance Light, like, you're Lance Leipold? Because that's been the one thing Kansas has done since, like, the early, like, the mid-2000s, beat Kansas State. And I thought Lance Leipold would be the guy, but he hasn't shown that, so I don't know where you go from there, but for Kansas State, they are still alive. They could play spoiler maker now that they've found some form.
Yeah, I mean, they're in their form right now. I believe next week they play Texas Tech at home. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic going into that game in Manhattan next week.
Yep. And, I mean, speaking of Texas Tech, they took care of Oklahoma State. I mean, there's nothing to, like, there's not much to say. They just took care of us, so.
Yeah, 42-0. that's everybody's. That's everyone in the Big 12's get right game.
Yep.
And so, then we see Cincinnati winning a dominant effort at home against Baylor, 41-20.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Cincinnati continues to be one of the Big 12 teams that nobody really talks about. I mean, Brandon Sorsby, Scott Satterfield had things going in Cincinnati. And, I mean, Cincinnati could find themselves possibly in Arlington if they keep winning like in the way they in the fashion that they are. So, really great year out of the Bearcats.
Yeah. It's elite. They're what? They're 5-0 right now in the conference. Right by game right behind BYU in the overall conference standings, but it's just like these two teams are the cream of the crop in the sense it like it's just it is insane to me. Like it's just I think Scott Satterfield may have found his stride, and I mean they have a favorable schedule. We're gonna take a look at that real quick. To go in Cincinnati. Yeah, it's gonna be a rough one next week. It's Big 12 After Dark for them next week. But after that, this one is gonna be a little bit of a tough end. You look at that. You see you have Arizona at home, then you host BYU at home, which could really, really loom large for whoever is the third place team, because whoever the third place team is between BYU and Cincinnati could definitely be knocked down. And BYU also plays Texas Tech next, I believe the week after their bye week next week. November 8th. So these games, there are games of consequence for BYU and Cincinnati the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, so I mean, we go from Cincinnati. I mean, we got they're 7-1 on the year, but we need to talk about another team that's 7-1 on the year. We got to talk about the Houston Cougars. They go into Tempe and they win 24-16. But that score is deceiving. That scoreline is deceiving because this was Houston dominating Arizona State just throughout the entire game. And I mean, Sam Levitt got knocked out of the game twice. And
wow,
And we'll have to see. And I mean, they were already without Jordan Tyson, so there was not too like Arizona State was trying to find something. But once Levitt got knocked out of the game, things were not looking too good for the Sun Devils. And yeah, they got a lot of they got all their 16 points in the fourth quarter, so kind of in garbage time, if you will. But generally speaking, Houston 7-1 on the year. I'm surprised we aren't talking about we don't talk about Cincinnati. Let's talk about Houston. They just go into Tempe and they dominate. Connor Wigman with an efficient day, 201 passing yards and a touchdown, but he also added 111 rushing yards and two touchdowns. So, really big day out of Connor Wigman. So, I mean, for Houston.
Another big day for Tanner Colziel, too. 7 receptions, 100 yards, and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this was just a good day to be Houston Cougar. And this, I mean, if we look at Houston's schedule real quick before we talk about ASC, sure. Arizona State. Outside of that Texas Tech loss, they could probably – let me see if they play because they don't play. Oh, dude, we could be seeing Houston. We're talking about BYU Cincinnati.
Houston might go 11-1.
We're talking about Houston going to the conference championship to play Tech.
Oh, baby, man, that would be insane. Wow, look,
this is just a weird world we live in, where somehow, some way, Houston would be in the Big 12 title game.
I mean, and hey, I mean, look, I'll say this. Shout out to the team. Shout out to the new blood, that's just taking over the Big 12 this year. These teams that joined in 2023, BYU, Cincinnati, and Houston, three of the top four teams in this conference. So shout out to them this year.
Yep. And then we got to go to ASU because that's obviously going to be big for both teams, because ASU, we host them next week. And we did get the game time for Iowa State, Arizona State. It's going to be a noon game on TNT. I had hoped this would be a night game if both teams were to win out the way they did, but obviously things have not worked out the way they have for both teams. So, and for both, you're playing for pride, but especially if you're Iowa State, I mean, you're coming off of 3 straight losses. Arizona State's lost, their last two, but they had that big one with Tech, so you would think on paper, maybe Arizona State could win, but they have Iowa State as a favorite, and that is certainly getting people talking. at least in the Iowa State side of things, because everybody's like, why is Iowa State favorite? Did they not see how bad we look against BYU? And I think, I mean, at the same time, Arizona State looked horrible. So both teams coming to this game kind of limping, and it's desperation mode for both to kind of salvage their seasons.
It is, and we also got to know, is Sam Levitt even going to play in that game? Because if he got hurt, then yeah, I mean, that's probably why. If they're probably looking at the Sam Levitt injury, if he said that he got out twice yesterday, that could be a really, really huge factor.
Without Jordan Tyson. They're already without Jordan Tyson, so.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that could be.
So, I mean, if both guys are out for Arizona State, that could be trouble for Sun Devils, so.
Oh, for sure.
And for the other games, TCU, I mean, they hold off West Virginia and Morgantown. It's a little weird, but they survived, so not really too much because I wasn't able to watch this. Utah puts up 43 points in the first half against Colorado. They win
53. Good Lord. This was belt to ass right here.
Did you see like the stat line at the at halftime for total yardage?
No.
You saw it, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude. It was like 350 total yards for Utah. And for Colorado, it was negative 18. yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We talk about just thorough dominate. This is just you know what I'm salty about more? It's how we lost to Colorado. I'm more salty about that than anything. I'm salty about that.
That's the problem. That's the problem, bro, is that after seeing this result, there's no reason why we should have lost to that team. That's the upsetting thing, is there's no reason why we should have lost to this Colorado team, but hey, it is what it is.
It should be like I would have been fine being 6-2.
Oh, see, no, like if we would have been 6-2, I would have felt like, see, but if we would have also been 6-2, I would have felt way better, and we only would have been 3-2 in the race. So I still would have felt good. You know what I mean? Because, yeah. But now, like, jeez, it's sort of deflating now that we've lost in a row. So,
yeah. So it's like, even when you see like this go crazy, you just know in the back of your head, and you're just like, and I tweeted, like, I saw a BYU fan tweeted, like, we won by 3 against Colorado. And then I tweeted, I was like, and we lost to them. I put loss in all caps because that was how salty I was.
Yeah, I said we lost to them. So, I mean,
Whatever. New week.
All right. It's a new week, but yeah, we're going to go and look at the national action. Let's take a look. We're going to go down to Saturday. Yeah. Indiana dominates at home and beats UCLA by 50, 56-6.
No surprise here, honestly.
Yeah.
Indiana should be like, probably the number one team, but we're gonna we might see that like at some point. But I think if you're not Ohio State, Indiana's clearly Indiana's number one because they're not just beating teams; they're beating them by a bunch.
Yeah, I mean they're. Let's look at their schedule real quick because I believe they have a end to where I think they're at on the road against. No wait, let's see. Oh, they have Maryland. They're at Maryland at 2:30 next week on CBS. Then they have at Penn State and then Wisconsin, and then they have the battle for the old Oaken Bucket in West Lafayette to end the season.
It's barbecue. This is barbecue chicken for Indiana.
Yeah. So it's safe to say that Indiana's probably going to finish 12-0.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, I'm not surprised they wouldn't be finished undefeated and going to Indianapolis. So, yeah. All right. So, from Bloomington, Indiana, down to Death Valley, I think it might be. The LSU fans, it's time for that. They want Brian Kelly fired after this performance.
The LSU has just fallen off of a cliff. A&M goes in and scores 35 points in the second half. as they pull away to beat LSU 49-25. And Texas A&M, dare I say that Texas A&M is legit finally. Like, are they? Texas A&M is finally living up to their own hype.
Yeah, slowly but surely, I think they're starting to exercise the battered Aggie syndrome, which is something I think that's what, you know, I made that, like, we've always joked about battered Aggie syndrome, but can we, like, I made a twist, like, can we twist that to Iowa State as well? Because I think we fall under the same category as well.
We do. We do.
We like, we call it battered cyclone syndrome, like BCS or something. Like, not to the old BCS, but yeah, battered cyclone, battered Aggie, yeah, whatever it is, but yeah. But yeah, Marcel Reed having a good year, and I mean, looking at Texas A&M schedule, it's barbed. Like, it's looking pretty winnable. It's
hold on, let me look.
They might, finally be able to shed off at least for 1 year the Texas 8-4. Oh yeah,
yeah. Because Bo Prabiola went out with an injury, so now that Missouri game might be looking a little, depending on what the diagnosis for Bo Prabiola's injury is. But that Missouri game looks a lot easier now. South Carolina at home, Samford, and then you go to DKR on the last Saturday of the year to Texas. Yeah, I mean, you look at this schedule, they definitely are primed maybe to go 12-0 and maybe get a date with Alabama in the SEC title game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I mean, that Texas game, I mean, that thing is looking winnable. Even though it's a deeper, but yeah. A&M could finally shed the 8-4 label, like the Texas 8-4 memes, at least for another year. But we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Let's see. Boys on the schedule? Yep. Yeah. Oh, hold on. I had to go so many different pages, but.
Oh, we missed it.
But we go also from there we go to Alabama, go to Columbia, where there was one point where South Carolina had an opportunity to beat Alabama and win this game. The student section went down to try to rush the field, and unfortunately, at South Carolina threw an interception and Alabama went down to score as Alabama survives in Columbia 29-22.
Yep. So Alabama, they are surging. And I mean, they're still like, they're certainly in the race for the SEC. So, I mean, after week one, things obviously look good, but obviously they rattled off like what, 7 win straight or something like that.
Yeah. So
things are doing just fine. Obviously, not the best performance out of Alabama, but they did enough to win. So I don't know how you feel if you're a Bama fan.
Yeah, I'm probably just relieved. And then we have Georgia Tech just continuing with their magical season. I believe they're 8-0 for the first time since 1966. And then Ole Miss, Trinidad Shambliss, 315 passing yards in a huge win over in Gala Memorial Stadium in Norman as they beat Oklahoma 34-26.
Yeah, so the Lane train is still rolling. After taking that loss to Georgia, they go into Norman, and yeah, the Lane train is rolling. You know, I think the best thing about this was the fact that the Oklahoma student section were doing the Gator Chomp because of all the Lane Kiffin to Florida rumors, so... yeah. So, from your perspective, how would you feel if Florida was able to land Lane Kiffin as your next head coach?
I honestly would actually really like that hire. Lane Kiffin to Florida actually makes a lot of sense. So, I'd be definitely be for it.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about Mizzou a little bit. Vanderbilt able to survive. Like, they're able to get a late touchdown, so they're on a roll. And I mean, Vanderbilt to the playoffs is legitimate. That's a real thing we're talking right now, which is crazy.
I mean, look, every year we see teams every year that were traditionally been losers that are now like 7-1, 8-1, 8-0, to where really there's no excuse for you to not be like that good anymore, to not be good anymore. And but, Vanderbilt. Yeah. I mean, let's look at their schedule, because they go on the road next week in a game that looms large. Like, look at the standings right now. The winner of that game could definitely have a inside shot or outside shot of making it to the SEC championship game. Like, if Vanderbilt goes on the road next week and beats Texas, man, Vanderbilt at 8-1. Good Lord.
Yeah. Dude, the Vandy pimp costumes. I don't know if you're like, you watch SEC shorts, but that's one of my favorite things out of that like skit show the last like couple years is Vandy pimp. You know everybody in Nashville is going to be rocking the pimp costumes.
Oh, I definitely would.
Yeah, you can see all the all for Halloween all over Nashville is the Vandy pimp.
Yeah. Man, what a year for the Commodores. Congratulations to them. Let's look down. Oh, man.
Virginia survives.
If Gio Lopez only would have extended his arm, they would have lost. But Virginia survives, and Virginia continues their race. I think they're up there in the top of the standings with
Georgia Tech.
They're right behind Georgia Tech, 7-1. Like, look at the top four teams. If you would have told me that these were the top four teams going into the year, I would have told you that you were crazy. It's Georgia Tech, Virginia, Pittsburgh, and Louisville. So the fact that Georgia Tech and Virginia could possibly get two playoff appearances for the ACC is absolutely insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, and that schedule is very doable for Virginia. Like, look at the remaining schedule. That's doable.
At Cal, Wake Forest, at Duke, and then Virginia Tech. They could probably finish 11-1, and Georgia Tech. Well, look at their schedule real quick. I mean, they have Georgia to end the season, but look at their season. They have at NC State, at Boston College, and then Pitt. Pitt's going to be a tough game.
Yep. That's going to be the important one.
Yeah.
I think they may be locked in the spot, but I think that's going to really be helpful. But on to the rest of the ranked matchups, I think there were some a few more that should note for the race of the college football playoff. South Florida goes down at Memphis. So Memphis gets a late touchdown to go up 3 with about a minute to go, and South Florida has a chance to tie the game in regulation, but the field goal kick goes wide left, and Memphis is now in the driver's seat for that group of six playoff spot.
I mean, guys, if you guys want to watch a race, watch the American, because it is going to be cinema to determine who gets that group of five playoff spot. It's just like every week there's somebody one-ups each other, and there's a team with a brand new chance to say, hey, we get a chance. No, we get a chance. It's absolutely fun. That was a fun game yesterday. Tennessee wins by 24 on the road at Kentucky, and then Texas goes on the road to Stark Vegas and wins in overtime as they beat Mississippi State 45-38.
Yep, they had to survive. Boy, did they survive. It took a punt return TD to even send it to overtime, and they finally survived. So maybe, just maybe, Texas can sneak their way in. I don't know, but to the expectations that they had earlier in the year, not good.
But not good at all.
But yeah. Illinois, they take an ass beating by Washington. The one play that summarizes this game the most is the interception in the fourth quarter. And then you see the players and the entire crowd hit the 6-7 celly, because if you look at the score, that's what adds up. That's how it gets. Yeah, the final score adds up to that number. So yeah, that was just hilarious to watch.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think that might be why they did the celebration. I don't know, but I don't know. That was a funny clip, but. Washington having themselves a pretty nice year. 3-2. Yep. Washington having themselves a nice year. They are 3-2. Yeah, 450 passing total yards with four touchdowns from Williams and a. Yeah, what a good day! What a day it was this year.
What a day! What a day it was indeed. Washington has a chance to maybe get an 8-9, maybe 10 wins. They have a game at the end of the year against Oregon that looms large.
And I mean, we didn't even talk about them, but Oregon. That game was a little bit ugly. I'm not gonna lie to you. The Oregon Wisconsin game. That thing was way closer than I thought it'd be. Unfortunately, we're having technical issues related to Tyler's internet, but let's see, we'll try to get it back here.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that. Technical difficulties, guys. Apologize. But yeah, we were talking about Oregon. Oregon goes on the road and dominates, or not dominates, as at home.
They hosted, yeah. But the score was a bit, yeah, 21-7. But I honestly thought Oregon was going to do a lot more. But Wisconsin, they did come to play. I mean, Luke Fickell has given Oregon difficulties. I mean, we saw last year at Camp Randall where that thing was only a 3-point game by the end of it. So clear to me that Luke Fickell does give Dan Lanning some problems, but I mean, for Oregon, you get the win. So I mean, you're firmly still in the race for the Big Ten like title race. But I mean, we got to look at that next game for them at Iowa. This Ooh. Thing
may be good. Oh baby, yeah, that game at Kinnick is gonna loom large. Iowa with a huge win, destroying Minnesota yesterday, where Iowa put themselves in a position now to where if Iowa wins this game at home against Oregon, they could finish in the top three and move to 7-2 next week if they win this game. And really, if Ohio State slips up against Oregon, Iowa will make it to the Big Ten championship game and possibly get a rematch against Indiana.
Yep.
Oh man, that makes me sick.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate that we're in this position. This feels like the previous years again, where Iowa's still the better. Like, it, somehow, some way, I thought we changed this, but nope. Somehow, some
way. I know. Somehow, some way, it goes back to what it used to be. I'm sick, bro.
And, and Iowa fans are letting us know. They're letting us know. They're giving us the business, right? But at the end of the day, we're the ones with the Cy Hawk trophy. So I don't care what you say. We still got the trophies.
We still beat you. Michigan goes on the road to East Lansing, gets Michigan and beats Michigan State. They move to 6-2 on the year. Nebraska beats Northwestern 28-21. Nebraska is now 6-2. Just see. I don't know if there are really any other games of. 41-3. Good lord, Iowa killed Minnesota.
So the first half went a little bit like this: Iowa touchdown, Iowa I think pick six, punt return touchdown. I think they might have also had they got a running touchdown, a pass touchdown, a punt return touchdown, a pick six. And however else you score a touchdown in this game. So, yeah, this was all Iowa from the start. It took like 5 minutes for this game to be like, yeah, this is clearly Iowa's game. Like, there's no way that Minnesota's keeping up. And, I mean, yeah, Mark Gronowski with the – yeah, wait. Yeah, is that actually – he actually passed for a touchdown. No, touche. But he also put one on the ground. So, Kamar Moulton with 75 yards, decent day. Wheaton with 49 receiving yards. But, yeah, he had a good day. Like, the punt return was huge. So,
yeah. All right. as with that, we're that's all we have today. We're gonna do a few things before we leave. We're gonna give a thanks to our sponsor, the FanDuel. It is basically now the Sports Equinox. The Blackhawks are doing good so far. They're 4-1 in their last five games. If you want to bet on the Blackhawks, the World Series right now, the Dodgers came back and tied it up 1-5-1 in Toronto as the series now goes to L.A. Basketball season has started up. NBA on NBC is a thing now. Nostalgia, I got tears when I saw that intro. NFL season is in full effect. We're getting halfway through that season right now. So there are plenty of promos, plenty of chances to go, if you know ball and make money, go and get some promos on FanDuel.
Yep.
And also, if you want to find me and find us on social media, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Twitch. We can be found on Twitch at Believe in Iowa State 2025, Believe in ICA 2025. Find us on Twitter at find me, SciTie Guy, Tyler, and find Cody on Twitter at Fomat Campbell. That is going to be the conclusion of our show. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Mitsula.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones. Good conversation.